So yesterday, we have been part of a district event called Shift Plus to help us to tweak some things that we do here that they have, that church planters and revitalizers are learning that churches need to do to kind of keep up with things. So we've been working on that, and yesterday was kind of our last day. We reported out. Nancy Reuscher and Alan Chin and I have been part of that. So Alan reported out for us, and we got good marks. We've been working hard on our hospitality. And then that was the morning for Pastor Dave, and then I was in and out for the women's royal tea yesterday, and I was going to come back to help. And I went in the kitchen, and there were about 10 women in there cleaning and everything, and I just walked out. I wasn't going to get into all of that. But they did it was a great event yesterday. We'll kind of be that as part of the preaching for today. So we're looking at, when I was in preaching class, a lot of times the professor said that it's always good to kind of read the scripture several times and then pick out a word or two that you can talk about in the scripture. So there are two or three, I forgot the third word at first service, that's why we have the first service, so I learned from my mistakes for you. And so the first one is salt. It says, you know, you're called to be salt of the earth. So let's just talk for a minute together. How do we use salt in our lives? How is salt used? Anybody? How do we use salt?
To melt ice.
To melt ice. All right. That's good. So we know that when we have bad weather, that we have this accumulation of salt. And another sermon will be about it. It goes into the Chesapeake Bay. But so we have salt to help us so that we can get out in our cars and get going. So that's one. We also know about how corrosive salt can be. What happens if you don't wash your car after being on those salty roads? What will happen to your car? It'll rust. So, you know, you need to get your car cleaned off or whatever so that it won't rust. So, salt, all right? What is another way that we use salt?
It's a wonderful gargle.
It's a gargle, that's right. It has healing powers, that's right. It's funny, you know, my dad, he grew up poor. And he would, anything that was any kind of scar or whatever, any hurt, cut, he'd put salt on it. That was just what they did in the 1930s to take care. That was their medicine, was salt. So salt has healing. I do sitz baths. You know, when y'all worry me to death, I got to go home and take a sitz bath. And it's full of, I just lay in that salty water and it feels good. So Pastor Dave does the sitz baths. What is another way that we have salt? In the ocean, that's right. Our world is full of salt, and just to swim in the ocean is a great feeling. And you go to the Dead Sea in Israel, what happens when you get in there? So salty, you float. All right, what is another way? I heard something.
It's abrasive. You can use to clean
things. It's abrasive to clean things. All right, another one? What was that?
Preserves.
Slugs. Oh, the poor slugs. Oh. All right, Annalisa. I'm sorry? It's a preservative. In Jesus' day, salt was used as a preservative. It was they didn't have refrigeration like we have, so they would use salt to preserve. It's interesting that during Jesus' day in the Roman times, salt was a commodity. It was like how we look at gold or silver. It was a commodity that you held, and it was very important. It was very expensive. If you look at the word salt and salary have the same root, have the same root word. A lot of people in Jesus' day were paid in salt for your wage, and eventually that became that you got your salary, was the amount of salt that you had. Salt, it talks in the scripture about, don't be where you're unworthy because you have lost your saltiness. And what would happen is you would go to a vendor, and you'd say, I want some salt. And if they weren't a good vendor, they would put sand in with the salt. And you think you had a good product. You'd go home and you'd cook with it or you would preserve with it. And it wouldn't work. You just have to throw out the whole thing. It just wasn't worth a penny because it was ruined because they had put sand in with the salt. So salt is very important to us. And what Jesus is so clever that he uses words that he knows that people around him will understand. So he uses the word salt. And he says, you're to go out and makes our food taste better. We're to go out and bring out the best of people through our lives, through our salt. And he wants us to kind of like a salt shaker. He wants us to kind of shake it around and just spread the salt of Jesus. I was reading about in England, in Britain during World War II, they didn't have any fertilizer. And so they would sprinkle, the Brits would sprinkle some salt on their fields, and it created like a fertilizer for them. But if you put too much on it, what happens? It's no good. It's no good. And I've read where these rulers, when they would conquer a country, they would just plow salt everywhere so that the land would no longer be fertile. So Jesus tells us to be salt. The next one he says, you're to be the light of the world, to shine. And to think about how we use light in our lives, that hopefully, because we are Christians, we shine. And Jesus is saying, I want you to take that light out into the world. And think, we cannot live without light. If we didn't have light, if we didn't have the sun, nothing would live on this planet. And so light is so important to our lives, and we're called to shine that light to others around us. Not just here, not just in our home, but for people all around us. And then the third word that I want to share with you is it says, you. You are the light of the world. It's not Pastor Dave is the light of the world, but who? You. All of us are called to share Christ's light and to be salt. I wanted to share with you a few things about how we here are Christ's light and shining the love of Christ and being salt. The first is last week we had our sub sale. And you were so good, I said, you know, don't ask for change. They made $1,000. $1,000 last week. So we give thanks for that so that these folks going to Appalachia Service Project can shine Christ's light and share the salt with people living in Appalachia. The United Methodist Women yesterday had the royal tea. Princesses everywhere, kings, whatever you want to call it, $1,000. $1,000. For that, that's great. Another one is the youth tonight are, what's the holiday coming up on Friday? Husbands, you better not forget this one. It's Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. So we thought, you know, one thing, our youth group ministry tonight is they're going to make some Valentines. And they're going to send them to our folks who are homebound. And I just wanted to share, we have about 17 people that we're going to be reaching out to tonight as we send them a Valentine. And just think, for a bunch of these people, if we don't send them one, they won't get one. And so I just wanted to share with you some of the names that we're going to send to. And if you know someone else here in church that isn't on that list, let me know. So we're going to remember Judy White, Steve White, Audrey Fawcett, Joe Dysart, Marge Bailey, Virginia Harrison, Crawford Grogan, Hal Grogan, Ann Stokely, Phyllis Bush, Lily Hausman, Desal Payne, Nancy Payne, Frank Snyder, Mary Wiggins, Alta Wolf, and Hillary Wood. So these are 17 people that our youth ministry tonight is going to be shining Christ's light to these folks. Another one is during the season of Lent, during Sunday school hour, we're going to be looking at a study called Reckless Love by Tom Berlin. Tom Berlin is the pastor over at Flores Church. He'll probably be elected a bishop this summer. And so he's written one, Jesus Called to Love Our Neighbor. And it's 6 weeks on Sunday morning about how we can love our neighbor. There are two others. I'm going to share with you how I shine my light. Is that okay? So here's one. I received a note from one of our new disciples, and I just want to share part of it because it talks about all of us here together, how we all work together to shine Christ's light. It says, I feel the warmth of the people, and she was even invited to United Methodist Women. Your sermons spring from the gospel and are truly memorable. I've shared with others some of the details of your guidance, which comes from the deep beliefs which you hold. You are so accepting and positive, and God shines through your countenance. And I love the music. The choir is amazing, and the musicians are so talented. In a nutshell, I belong at Doolin. And then the last one I want to share with you, I talked about it last week. It was about at the bus stop, one of the kids had a brain tumor. And so one of our disciples called me, and I kind of be the neighborhood pastor back here in Broadmont. And so I went and left a business card in this little girl's house, and I just put on there, Doolin is praying for you, because they weren't home. And then a few days later, I got an email from one of the grandparents. And so I wanted to share with you what this grandparent had to say. It's the subject is outpouring of love and concern. So they are members of First United Methodist Church in Austin, Texas. Good afternoon. Recently, we flew from Austin to Falls Church after learning that our granddaughter, Millie, had just been diagnosed with a brain tumor and was scheduled for surgery later in the week. Our daughter and her family are members of a United Methodist Church, I won't say the name, a church that we have visited on a number of occasions when we're in town. We witnessed the love and care of this church during this scary week of the unknown while waiting for Millie's surgery. And then the day before surgery, we found a business card from Reverend Dave with a note of prayer and concern on our daughter's front door from Doolin United Methodist Church. This sense of Methodist community so far away from our home church in Austin, Texas, reduced me to tears of gratitude and thanksgiving for the abiding love and light from friends and strangers alike. We have also visited Doolin on a number of occasions as well when Millie's parents are out of town and we're in charge of the girls and looking for a shorter drive to worship. You know? Millie is now back in school and doing incredibly well. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. What a note. I am touched. It's a keeper. We together have been the hands and feet of Jesus, sharing the light of Christ. And that's what it's all about, friends. That is what it's all about. And that's the good news. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.